Here's a little Bible trivia for you. In all of the three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John's not considered one of those. There's some reasons for that. But of those three, the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there are only two times when we hear the voice of God, the true voice of God speaking audibly to people on earth. Two times. And both times, the voice of God says the same thing. Referring to Jesus both times, the voice says, "This is my son, my beloved, with him or with whom I am well pleased or am delighted." The first time we hear those words from God, it is on the occasion of Jesus's baptism. That was our text from a couple of weeks ago. John the Baptist immerses Jesus in the Jordan River. As Jesus rises out of the water, the heavens open, the Holy Spirit descends on Jesus, and then this voice, "This is my son, my beloved. With him I am delighted." The next, and the only other time that we hear the voice of God speak directly to people on earth is our text for this morning. This story is known as the Transfiguration. For just a brief moment, Jesus is seen in a new light, literally a new light. The glory that Jesus shares with God the Creator, and the Holy Spirit shines out of his being. Peter, in his usual way, goes overboard in his response, but then we hear the voice saying exactly the same thing as at the baptism. Well, almost exactly the same. There's one little difference. Many of you may have already caught it. This time, when God speaks directly to earth, there's a short directive at the end. The words at the baptism and those same words that are repeated here in our story are initially just identification. God is publicly identifying who Jesus is. "My son, this is my son, my beloved one, with whom I am delighted." Just straight identification, pronouncement. But then, in our story, God adds a little hint about what we should do with this new information. God says, "Listen to him." Considering how little we actually hear directly from the voice of God to earth, that addition, even though it's small, seems like it must be important. Consider who else is on the mountain with Jesus. Moses, we hear Moses is there. Moses gave the entire law to God's people, not just the Ten Commandments, but the entire first five books of the Hebrew First Testament are attributed to Moses, the Pentateuch from Genesis to Deuteronomy. Our Hebrew First Testament reading even sounds very similar to what we heard of Jesus on the mountain, that a cloud descended and Moses was in the midst of this. Moses is clearly a special leader in the history of God's people, and Moses is with Jesus in this moment of transfiguration. Elijah is also there. Elijah was considered one of the greatest prophets in the history of God's people. Elijah represents the whole history of God's communicating with the covenant people in the midst of their circumstances over centuries of time. Prophets were the special messengers from God for the people. And Elijah was considered one of the greatest. So we have both Moses and Elijah, which represent basically all of the history and the work of God through the Hebrew First Testament. They are both there with Jesus on the mountain in our story, and yet the voice of God doesn't say, listen to all of them. The voice says, listen to Jesus. And consider who else is there. Peter, James, and John. These three represent most of the leadership of the early Christian church. Other than Paul, those three, Peter, James, and John, were the triumvirate of leadership. In Matthew's telling of the gospel, Jesus has already told Peter by this point that Peter will be a part of the foundation of the church. He will be the rock on which the church is founded. In fact, part of the reason that these three guys are specifically with Jesus in this moment is to give them an authority for their roles as leaders in the church. And listen again to Peter's experience of that. I love this fact that Peter, we have this writing from Peter about this moment. We don't follow cleverly invented stories. We didn't do that when we told you about the power coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor from God when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. This gave Peter and James and John extraordinary authority and integrity when they spoke about Jesus. They are here also in our story with Jesus on the mountain when he's transfigured. And yet again, the voice doesn't say, for now, listen to Jesus. Your time will come and you can listen to each other's voices. Again, even though they are there, the voice says, listen to Jesus. Full stop. Dale Bruner helped me to understand some of what is happening here in this morning's story. God does not waste words on talk of mere effect. What does this twice repeated voice mean? It means that the single most important fact that God wants the church and the world to know, bar none, is all that we have in Jesus of Nazareth. And it is in these terse words that the story reaches its sharpest point. They are what this story is finally all about. They are why the cloud, the transformation, and the Old Testament figures and the voice occurred at all. The response that God wishes of the disciples to God's priceless Son is the response that listens to Jesus with the faith of obedience. Listen to him. The voice does not say even, listen to me. Again, this is God speaking, and the voice doesn't even say, listen to me, as if God had important things to say to us independently of Jesus. Instead, God directs complete attention to the visible, audible, palpable Son. No direct, immediate, or unmediated communications between God and the human race or God and the church are announced. Jesus is God's word. So, listen to him. This story gives to all disciples of Jesus the most important guidance that we receive on reading the Bible as a whole. Everything that we read as followers of Christ, everything that we read in all of the scriptures, both Hebrew First Testament and the Greek New Testament, in the end must be weighed and understood through what we hear and read from Jesus. All the other voices in our scriptures have their place and are important to hear in their context. But when in doubt, when we find conflicting scriptures, we listen for the voice of Jesus. And we saw this in the temptation, that even the devil used scripture, and yet Jesus said, yeah, but there's something more important than the one you just quoted that you also took out of context. Whenever we hear something that we feel like, that doesn't seem like the Jesus I know, when in doubt, we go with what we know of Jesus. The voice of God makes it quite clear. Listen to him. Jesus is the full expression of God. And at the end of our story this morning, we are given this beautiful glimpse of what happens in our lives when we do listen to Jesus. As mentioned, when Peter sees Jesus in his glory and Moses and Elijah there, he doesn't think, he just does. He goes to Jesus and offers to build three shelters, three tabernacles. It seems that generally he wants to preserve this moment. It's so good. He just wants it to last forever or something along those lines. But that is not in the plan. And so we hear in verse 5, while he was still speaking, I love this. God doesn't even wait for Peter to finish. It's like, okay, Peter, enough. A bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, listen to him." Well, when the cloud overtakes them and the voice of God speaks, the three of them, Peter, James, and John, are terrified. We remember that view that the people had when Moses was on the mountain and this cloud enveloped him. They thought the whole top of the mountain was on fire. It's terrifying to be in the presence of God. Before Jesus came, the presence of God was considered so dangerous that it could easily kill you. And certainly no one could be in the full presence of God. So the cloud moves in, they hear the voice, they drop face down on the ground, and the way it comes out literally is that they are terrified, they're trembling in fear. And then we hear, Jesus came and touched them. Think about that. They feel this touch on them. "Get up," he says. "Don't be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw Jesus alone. Jesus' words are filled with love and encouragement in this moment. In addition to that, Jesus actually gives them that reassuring touch of tenderness. Again, listen to Dale Brunner's take on this. Everything is in that little seventh verse. And in some ways, this little end of the Transfiguration story, often neglected as if it were a mere after effect, that may be one of the most important points in this story. For Jesus shines not just to shine, not just to impress, not even in the final analysis to make us obedient or trembling, but especially to help us. To put us on our feet, to enable us to breathe again so we can follow him. One of the main reasons that we listen to the voice of Jesus is because it's not only full of truth, it's full of love. Voices full of truth and love are pretty scarce in our world, in our lives right now, pretty short supply. The discourse in our society has become significantly worse since the previous occupant of the White House showed up. The former president's public platform has given vent to a whole host of white racist grievance. It began even while he was running the first time, and it continues through this day. As well, Twitter, now X, Twitter has always had issues about misinformation. But since Elon Musk took over, it has become almost exclusively a forum for voices of lies and hate. And even our mainstream media, which used to be sort of the one public voice that we could mostly count on, even our mainstream media has provided amplification for voices spreading lies and hate in the name of trying to be balanced and let both sides speak. And those voices that we listen to day after day have a profound impact both on how we perceive the world and then how we act in it. And I will admit, at many times, I have let other voices crowd out the voice of Jesus. But again, thank God we come back here every Sunday and we are reminded of the voice that we ought to be paying attention to. And even when I've allowed then other voices to crowd out, this helps me to catch myself and to go back to listening to the voice of Christ, at least listening to it first and mostly. And it always changes me for the better. The voice of Jesus is always a voice of both truth and love. And that combination is so important, truth and love. Throughout our lives, Jesus will always be with us through times of fear, through times of grief, through times of joy. When we look up, it will always be Jesus with truth and love. I'm moved by the way that Malcolm Gait captures this experience in his poem called Transfiguration. For that one moment in and out of time, on that one mountain where all moments meet, the daily veil that covers the sublime in darkling glass fell dazzled at his feet. There were no angels full of eyes and wings, just living glory full of truth and grace. The love that dances at the heart of things shone upon us from a human face. And to that light, the light in us leaped up. We felt it quicken somewhere deep within, a sudden blaze of long extinguished hope. Trembled and tingled through the tender skin. Nor can this blackened sky, this darkened scar, eclipse that glimpse of how things really are. God encourages us to feel the touch of Jesus in our lives, to listen to him, to not be afraid, to rise up and follow Jesus. Jesus alone. Amen.